Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. So I'm going to approach the issue of immigrant mental health from the standpoint of adolescents, immigrant origin adolescents, both those born in the United States and those born outside of the United States. And this particular study focuses on acculturative stress and particularly the experiences of adolescents with regard to their ascribed race and ethnicity, and how these experiences might affect the ways that adolescents might conceptualize accessing help from to deal with their stress. So just a little bit of background to this study. We know that immigrant youth exist in a larger system in which they are categorized by others through the lenses of race, ethnicity, social class, gender, among other social identities. And acculturative stress refers to the stress of navigating across various contexts, including facing language barriers, discrimination. All of these types of stressors have been found in our literature, in our research, to be associated with various internalizing symptoms like depression, anxiety. It's also, this type of stress has also been found to be influenced by various contexts, including the family context and the school environment. We also have ample literature that speaks to the importance of social support as a protective factor in the face of acculturative stress. However, we also know that immigrant origin youth might be less likely to seek help from family members when coping with stress like this, and may be more likely to seek informal sources of support. But once again, as Dr. Takeuchi had mentioned, this is we still have yet to understand what the specific mechanisms are within populations and within cultural groups. So the present study that I'm going to explain in some detail, I'm going to fast forward through a couple of slides just to qualify to get through some time limits. But this particular study aimed to explore how adolescents experience their ethnicity and ascribed race and how this relates to coping with stress. We also aimed in this study, it was conducted in a group interview format, and we aimed to create dialogue on ethnicity and race and coping with stress among adolescents, as these kinds of spaces are rare in terms of just having conversations, whether it's in the school environment or outside the school, just kids talking with each other about their particular experiences of race and ethnicity in an open way. So this is the methodology here. We included 64 adolescents at a high school in an urban area in the Northeast. This particular school consists of a student body which identifies, two-thirds of which identifies as racial or ethnic minorities, with a high concentration of immigrant students. We included 35 girls, 29 boys. The age range you see is quite wide, although I want to say that the majority of kids fell between 14 and 16 years of age. And we did include students from grades 9 through 12. And we had separated these group interviews by sort of the ascribed racial backgrounds that these students were given. So we had groups that consisted of Asian American adolescents, another set of groups with Haitian American adolescents, Latino adolescents, and then South Asian adolescents. This is the breakdown in terms of nativity status. 44 adolescents were born outside of the U.S., 20 in the U.S., and the majority of the students who were born outside of the U.S. arrived between the ages of 11 and 16. The group interview that we used, we actually met with each group twice in consecutive weeks, and we had two different sets of questions that were used for each of the weeks that we met with them. And you see a range of 4 to 8 students in each group, and included a background form. But typically what we started with in the first meeting with the students was a mapping exercise, and this was really meant to facilitate dialogue, to help them start thinking about their identities, particularly their cultural and racial identities. And then they completed a group of semi-structured interview questions. This is an example of a mapping exercise. So what we did, the facilitator would draw a circle inside, write in, I am, and then the students were asked to just take a marker and draw a line and describe how they describe themselves, how they identified on that particular day, on that particular moment. So you see all kinds of descriptions here. You see Vietnamese, awesome, lavender, sophomore, fob, you see the fresh off the boat, freshman, single, right? All kinds of descriptors that they gave themselves. Then we followed this. The facilitators followed this by asking specific questions, including the following. I'll just go through a couple of these. So in the first meeting, we would ask, please think of a time when you felt good about being a young person from your particular ethnic background. And we would use the specific background of the student. And then to ask for details. Why is that? What specific event or something that happened caused you to feel that way? And then we also asked about what felt hard about being a person of that particular background. And then questions about whether they feel like they're ever treated unfairly. The second interview meeting in the following week, by the way, there was also pizza provided for the kids. This was really meant to be an informal space for the kids. So the second interview included questions specific to coping with stress. Who do they talk to? Do they talk to anybody about the kinds of things that we had been talking about in the first group interview meeting? And also a general question about what do you think helps kids deal with this kind of stress? What we found, first of all, was that this was a very active, dynamic dialogue among all of the groups. Just from an observational point of view, there's a real sense that kids wanted to talk about these issues. We did not have to draw them out extensively to have these interview questions responded to. This shows the data analysis. We use conventional content analysis. Let me glide over to the results so we have enough time for this. We found that there were four major domains and several themes within these domains that related to identity development. And they included the following: a sense of pride, connection with the heritage culture and language. And often the two coexisted, cultural and linguistic kind of pride. Also difficulties in cultural adjustment, experiences of stereotyping, discrimination. And then I'll explain the fourth domain, how the coping and the relational context that the students coped with these stress in related to all the other domains. So here are some examples of what the students said. In the first domain here, the pride in and connection with heritage, culture, and language. So there's this one student here, a South Asian student, who says, we have a celebration every year. It's called Eid. On the last day, we go to this mosque and we wear fancy clothes. I feel special because I'm showing the world how I dress when I'm back in my mom's country. Then we have, and there are many others, numerous other examples I can give you, but let me move to the next domain, which has to do with difficulties in cultural adjustment. And this includes barriers associated with learning English, also navigating conflicts with peers as well as within the home with parents. So here you see I went into an ESL class without knowing anything. I didn't know how to communicate. It was really hard because people made fun of me. There's a Latino participant. I hate, like, when you know a person and they're Haitian and, like, they just come up to you in public and start speaking Creole, making us look bad. So there is this theme that we found over and over again with the students sort of talking about how they managed being around people, kids of the same ethnicity, in the face of a mainstream context. I think parents don't understand us sometimes. So that's why they have more expectations and our thoughts and views are different from them, because we are a new generation. We found this kind of feeling from the students, particularly in the South Asian and the Asian American group, heavy academic expectations. Then you see this Haitian participant here. They're really strict. Haitian parents are strict. I just want to have American parents sometimes because it would be easier. And then we have the domain of stereotypes and discrimination. When we hear about Latino, it's they work really hard in the garden and things like that. Now, another participant who is Latino also said, well, there are other stuff that contradicts this feeling. They also say that we're lazy. So how can we be working hard and be lazy? So there are a lot of these contradictory stereotypes that would come up over and over again. And you see a South Asian participant. After 9/11, people looked at us differently. Once they thought one Muslim did it, they thought every immigrant was a terrorist, even innocent people. So we see these variations among the groups in terms of specific stereotyping. I just want to draw your attention to the second quote here that you see. One teacher always be rashing on the Haitians. She'll be like, you're all too loud. You Haitians are weird. And we heard this over and over again with teachers and adults in the school making comments that were stereotypical and racist. And then you see, of course, the bottom one here has to do with deportation. If you get on my nerves, I'm going to deport your whole family. So moving on to coping, what we find is these participants talk with peers, talk with adults, family members, but all in very different ways. And you see that, in fact, most of them relied on informal sources of support, particularly their friends and some relatives, but mostly friends. And they sought out students, other students in the school and friends of a similar ethnic background, although they desired to have friendships with people of all different backgrounds in their school. And look at the first quotation here. I know if I was in school and I had a problem, I wouldn't know which teacher to go and talk to them. I can't relate to any of them. This was a prevalent feeling. And then you can look at the second quote here. I hate when they, the guidance counselors, say when they are going to keep it private, but then they tell all the teachers. So this issue of confidentiality and privacy. And then we had a few kids who talked about the importance of spirituality in their lives and the importance of religious communities, going to the temple, going to church, and so on. So what we found in this study, when we analyzed this data, what we understood is that, in fact, there are some variations across these groups of kids in terms of how they were stereotyped. But one of the things that was common to all of these groups is the extent to which these kids relied on informal sources of support, really found the idea of talking about their stress, which was quite significant, with any adults in their lives in particular. They didn't want to burden parents. They didn't really trust the adults at school, particularly when it was reinforced by these feelings of being marginalized or stereotyped in some way. So some implications, I'll just wrap up with this. A very low likelihood of immigrant origin youth seeking help from adults, particularly in schools. Stereotyping and discriminations as barriers, as real barriers to seeking help, and the fact that these students wanted to continue this dialogue. And they wanted to find, in fact, we asked them for recommendations. What can we be doing differently in your school? And how can our team of researchers help you with this? And so there was a continuation of this project into an intervention, which included the students wanting to have a celebration of their cultures. They felt that even though this was a highly diverse group of students in the school, what was accentuated was not their pride and their connection in their heritage culture or their linguistic heritage, but rather on the stereotypes and the discrimination. So they wanted to have culture fairs. They also wanted to have ongoing dialogues. Where can we talk about this stuff more with each other? So these are some ideas for improving help seeking and access to help for these students. So let me wrap up with that. I know I'm running out of time here. Thank you.